coming up this week on the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. Knott's Berry Farm teases changes to a longtime favorite attraction. Construction begins in a new land at Universal Studios Hollywood. And more details are released on what's coming when the Millennium Falcon attraction lands at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. See what I did there? Millennium Falcon. Anyways. Plus, we wrap up our 2018 Halloween season with Karen as we discuss our trip to Mickey's Halloween Party at Disneyland. From an undisclosed location near the Pacific Ocean, it's me, the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. This is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, episode number 25 for the week of October 29th, 2018. Visit our travel partner, Magical Vacation Planner by Caris, for help planning your next vacation getaway to any of the following: Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney and Alani, Universal Studios Orlando, and Royal Caribbean, Princess, Carnival Cruises, and more. Get your free consultation by visiting Magical Vacation Planner by Caris on Facebook or by visiting magicalvacationplanner.com/staff/Caris, CARISSMILANO. Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, a discussion of the latest news, reviews, and history from around the Southern California theme parks and beyond, brought to you by our team of theme park fans and experts. I am Chris Ramirez, the host and executive producer of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, and this week I am joined by our associate producer and Knott's Berry Farm reporter, Brandis Strautman. Hello, Brandis.
Hello.
Alternate John and contributor John Strautman. Welcome back, John.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And of course, from our vlog series, Karen Fan is back. Hi, Karen.
Greetings. Also, happy birthday, Alternate John.
Yes, happy birthday to Alternate John.
Way to make me look bad.
Did you not wish John a happy birthday?
Not on air for everyone.
So, yeah, happy birthday to John. John, your birthday was what, Saturday?
Yesterday, yeah.
Oh, yesterday, okay. So I guess we recorded.
Saturday, yeah. So, you were wrong.
I was not wrong. The show releases on Wednesday. We record on Sunday. It's all messed up. So, well, welcome back, everyone. I'm super glad that we are back once again. If the show sounds a little weird this week, we got moved back to our old recording studio area. They were doing something in our current recording studio area, and so I think this is a much smaller space, and I think we might get a better sound in here. So I don't know, I may make this back to our permanent recording area, because that other one was really, really big and kind of echoey. But also, we apologize for no show last week. I was at a conference for my job, and I was in Las Vegas. I know, poor me. The downside of that was that I caught a terrible cold, and so my voice sounds a little weird this week. But the good news is I'm not contagious. I went to urgent care on Friday, and they're like, yeah, you're fine. Just take some medicine. And so I slept all day yesterday. And so you guys...
Your host really, really loves urgent care.
Yeah
I was like, you went to urgent care for a cold.
They go to urgent care for everything.
But they don't have kids yet. They'll learn. When you have kids, it's like...
To be fair, my wife made me go. She was like, I'm really concerned about your cough. I'm like, it's fine. I'm going to be okay. And she's like, no, you need to go to urgent care. So I was like, okay. And then I left work early. So it was kind of an excuse to leave work early.
Yeah, that makes sense.
On Friday. And so I left work at like 12 o'clock on Friday. And I was like, well, I'm not going back now. So that was kind of...
Yeah, once you have kids, you start to learn almost as much as a doctor does in like simple diagnosis.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. I've dealt with health issues with other people in my family. And every time this comes up, I'm like, no, I'm fine. And my wife, who loves me very much, is like, no, you need to go to the doctor. I'm like, okay, fine, I'll go to the doctor.
We're Asian. We never go to the doctor.
Yeah.
It's like, we should go to the doctor. Why? No, you're fine. Just take some more medication.
You'll Asian, and I only go to the doctor when I already know what it is.
Seriously?
I like go to the doctor, and I'm like, I have bronchitis.
When I was little and in elementary school,
yeah, they argue.
I jumped off some really wide stairs and I slammed into a cement stage. And so they were like, well, you know, you injured your foot. And my parents were like, no need to take you to a doctor. It's fine.
It doesn't feel
broken. So you're good. So we just wrapped this up myself, and then I hobbled around for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
so we don't do doctor.
Hispanic people and Asians have a lot in common. Hispanic people are like, no, you're fine. Rub some dirt on it. Have some Robitussin and Vicks VapoRub. Yeah, I've been in my job for 5 years. I think I work in a school setting, and so in 5 years one of the damn kids got me sick, because I never get sick, and I think the general like layer of filth and like skeeziness in Vegas, combined with the fact that all the kids that I deal with in the past 2 weeks I've been sick. So I think my immune system was finally like, nope, we're shutting it down. We're done. So, like I said, but the good news is I'm not contagious anymore. Just my voice sounds weird for right now. I hope everyone is having a, safe and fun Halloween season. This episode is going to go up and it should be getting released on Halloween. So this is going to wrap up our Halloween talk. But, Brandis, you had an interesting story about your son's Halloween costume, right? You had to kind of pull it together.
Goodness. I was going to say,
do you want to share like the 2 minute version of it?
Okay. So basically he wants to be Link. I call around to Halloween stores. We go to some Halloween stores and they act like I'm crazy looking for a Link costume.
And of course Link is from
The Legend of Zelda.
Right.
Could you not just use Peter Pan modified?
I don't think they even had Peter Pan, but no, you couldn't. No. No.
I don't have kids. I don't have kids, but you clearly don't have kids.
There is so much wrong with that. So then I order it on Amazon Prime and it was supposed to get there like on Wednesday or something. Wednesday, it's like one package gets delivered that was the shield and the next package is supposed to be the next day or whatever. Thursday comes and it's not there. So Friday, contact them and it's a popular Halloween costume this year, so it's back ordered and not get there until
Who knew The Legend of Zelda was popular again?
Well, they just released a Christmas new one. Yeah.
They just released a new game.
Yeah, the Breath of the Wild. So anyway, what she's got my son playing all the old games now.
You can steal chickens.
So I'm freaking out because he's got Trunk or Treat the next day. There's no way I could, order the costume to have it in time. So I Google how to make a Link costume and hat out of t-shirts because he has two green t-shirts. And up pops an ad. My Party City now has the costume. So I go there first thing in the morning and I ask them and they're like, oh no, that's aisle 2 is the game aisle. If we have it, it's there. And I go there. They have the sword and the shield, but no costume, no tunic and hat, which is the most important part. So then I go to another employee and they're like, no, that's aisle 2 in our gamer. But all they have, like I said, is a sword and the shield. Oh, and a full Mario costume. So then I find a third employee that really looks like a video game nerd. And so I ask him, he's like, oh yeah, that's on our picture wall. So turns out you're supposed to go find the costume you want on the wall, get the number, go to an employee and they get it in the back. And so then I go to the first guy that told me that it's in aisle 2 and I'm like, I'm supposed to get, 206. And he's like, oh yeah, okay, one second. Like,
that's
if
great.
I had
that's...
reception, I would totally Google what Link looks like because I really thought that if you just took the Peter Pan hat and maybe a little green vest over a white shirt, and that would about
white
cut
shirt?
It.
Shirt?
No? Okay, clearly.
No, so Peter Pan is a zigzag bottom and sleeves because he's supposed to be like
ragged.
Yeah. Link would be like the same shirt, but without the zigzags and instead gold trim or silver trim or brown trim, depending on which Zelda you're doing. Wow. He has regular sleeves.
Link is
some
fancy.
Of them he wears a long white sleeve under it. Some he doesn't. Then Peter Pan's hat is a short little like teardrop looking thing, whereas Link's hat is more like a sleeping
hat. I just had Karen a picture of what Link looks like, and
close. Karen just thought it was all green and it all had pointy ears that it would look
I could see where you would think that. And
yes, but now I do see that there are no jagged bottoms. So, okay. I probably would have just said maybe take a green pillowcase and cut a V and some arm sleeves in there, but this is probably why I'm not a parent or
costumes. Really important too. That's the one thing.
I think we learned a little bit about how Karen's Halloween costumes are made out of today too.
I also feel like for the hat, you could just buy any old like sleeping kerchief and then just dye it green.
Okay.
Karen, do you have house elves?
No.
Karen, when you have kids, please send them our way for Halloween so that you're not going to school wearing
a pillowcase
and like a
unless
baseball,
they're Dobby.
Cut up baseball cap. So
I didn't have a Halloween costume. I'm not sure they really need a Halloween costume.
This one is kind of, I think, is genius of me. The costume I did get him did not come with the boot covers,
I did not know you needed boot covers.
So I took an old pair of brown calf length boots that I had and a razor and cut the sole off to make my own boot covers for
That's
him.
That's really nice of you. Were you not planning on wearing these boots ever again?
I work at a school now, so I have all these great shoes from my past work, and now all I could wear is tennis shoes and jeans and t-shirts because somehow the kids always get ketchup on me.
Ew.
Like, she doesn't work lunch. They just get ketchup.
Yeah, no, I work the lunch, but it's like they're so filthy and they have to hug you.
And they're sticky.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Sticky. Kids are just so gross. I love them, but they're gross.
This is why I don't have any yet, because when they get gross, I just give them back to you guys.
Yeah. So as for the boot covers, no, I was not going to be wearing them anytime soon. And probably by the time I needed them, it'd be out of style. So. Just mutilated my own boots for my kid.
But then they're retro at that point.
You are a good mother.
Thank you.
All right. So, well, that's great. I heard that story and I was like, well, since we're releasing this, you know, in the week of Halloween, that might be a fun story to share. So, thank you, Brandy, for sharing that with us. The last thing before we hop into park hopping, our Instagram giveaway. I'm going to extend our Instagram giveaway. I need a little bit more time to promote it, and I've been doing a very good job of that, because, well, life. And so, I want to, extend that. We're going to extend that into November, probably till our next show. And then I just wanted to warn everybody, I'm not sure where it's going to fall on the, schedule of shows, since we didn't have a show last week. And so whenever we don't have a show, we wait 2 more weeks to do a show. But, there's definitely not going to be a show the week of Thanksgiving. So if you're like planning on listening to us after you come to us on turkey, sorry to disappoint you, but that's not going to be a show the week of Thanksgiving. So, all right. Well, anything else in old business?
Old business. Is this a board meeting?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I'm in that mode because I don't know.
Can I have a gavel?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm PTA president and I don't even have a gavel.
If anybody gets a gavel in this room, it's me.
Get you one of the squeaky ones.
Right. Okay. That took a weird turn. All right. So let's move on to park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour. Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of LA.
Welcome, one and all. Y'all come have a ball. Things are very fine riding on the old Blackberry line.
All right, park hopping is our new segment, and to kick things off, I think we're going to start over there with John. John, what is going on at Knott's Berry Farm?
Knott's teases 2019 Ghost Town attraction. After weeks of speculation on social media and elsewhere, Knott's Berry Farm says that it's about to announce big news for 2019, which has fueled speculation that Bigfoot Rapids will undergo a significant renovation. Knott's Berry Farm has begun dropping online hints about a 2019 attraction planned for the Ghost Town area of the theme park. A recent tweet promised a great discovery awaits in 2019, with a Wild West style poster promoting a rare chance for speculation in the Calico River territory. Online speculation immediately turned to the possibility of an extensive renovation of the Bigfoot Rapids Water Ride and Ghost Town section of the Buena Park theme park. Lance Hart on Screamscape, a theme park industry news website, wrote, "Could Bigfoot Rapids be going under the knife to be transformed into something new for 2019. On various Facebook groups, online speculation has been like repeated here like 20 times so far. So I think
we're covering our bases.
Yeah. Did you write this, Chris?
I wrote part of it. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Chris. That's what I'm saying. Right, it's a good thing. I'm glad.
I'm going to get you a thesaurus for your birthday.
I'm just a nerd. I
Christmas
love that.
Is coming up.
There we go.
Okay, Christmas. Think about Christmas.
Speculation has been tossed around for months as the attraction is reportedly nearing an upcoming refurbishment closure. The poster issues a call to adventure to explore the unspoiled wilderness and bountiful wonders of the Calico River territory filled with mining and timber opportunities. Excursions encouraged, the poster proclaims. Bigfoot Rapids was added to Knott's Berry Farm's roster of rides in 1987 at the cost of $10 million. Whoa. It cost that
in,
much?
In 1987, dude. Yeah.
Wow.
That's from an LA Times article. Like, so that's right. Like, that's from an LA Times article.
That's
from
crazy.
87. Yeah.
It transformed
Thank you for
about
citing your source.
Yeah. Didn't it just make it up?
Fake news.
Yeah.
No.
And 3.5 acres of parking lot into Knott's fifth theme area, the Wild Water Wilderness. At the time, park officials claimed that the Bigfoot Rapids ride is California's longest man-made whitewater river. The attraction featured 6-seat rubber rafts that originally passed directly under 2 waterfalls. The waterfalls were turned off sometime in the 90s due to a series of injuries on the ride. Currently, Bigfoot Rapids has a height requirement of 46 inches.
Yeah.
Can we just really quick discuss those injuries were because of idiots who can't follow the rules?
Right. They were – so because
– I wish it was still on.
Yeah. So because people like didn't want to get wet – because you used to get soaked on that ride, right? Remember, right? So they used to go under – so if you didn't – one waterfall didn't get you, the second waterfall was going to get you, and people would panic and then like not want to go under the waterfall that they clearly missed while they were standing in line or walking through that area, and they would unbuckle their Velcro seatbelts and run to another seat, including
your lap.
Yeah.
Like a stranger is sitting on you twice your size.
Yeah, and so they decided that it was just better to turn the waterfalls off, and so the ride's never quite been the same after that. It was just kind of like, okay, there are better. Also, I didn't know that the longest artificial whitewater rapid in California was a prize category that you could right, and it was a big.
I think it's pretty easy to win that. You just know it's a category and just go do it.
Yeah. So now there are better whitewater rapids rides. You know, the Grizzly River Run at California Adventure comes to mind as kind of like a really well themed. I was reading on some of the previous postings, you know, from online forums yesterday, and one of them was like, it's a concrete trough with, you know, dead grass and dying trees, and you can see, you know, whatever Western Avenue or whatever it is, you know, on the other side of the fence. So,
and when you're going up, when the ride's over, and you're going up that little belt, you could see the garbage.
That's right. Yeah, you can totally see like the back.
So it's backstage. Really that whole California feeling.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Drought, dry waterways, traffic.
Yeah,
that sounds awesome. Also, I was just thinking, I'm really sorry that they turned off all those waterfalls because I really missed out on a money making opportunity.
To sit on people?
To charge for people to sit on people.
I don't think that there was like a transaction period. Like, I think they just got up and went and sat on you. So,
I mean, yeah. I could have pre-transitioned before they even got on there.
You can sit on me.
You'd be like, come sit on mommy's lap. You won't get wet.
But what if the rapids used to turn? So what if like did you offer refunds? You know,
Then they could sit on her lap to get the waterfall effect.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I could go either way.
Okay.
You want dry, you want wet, you know, yes, waterfall, no waterfall. I mean, you know,
and that just took
non-refundable,
off. Right? No refunds.
Exactly. No refunds. This is my best guess. I can't guarantee that this will happen.
Karen is an entrepreneur at heart. So what do you guys think? Are two Knott's Berry Farm people?
Well, okay. So
what do you guys think about them retheming?
So does that really, so Bigfoot's gone? Like he's not a part of this?
There was. So it sounds like, they had this like themed area, like the Wild Water Wilderness area. Like that's, you know, that's a quote unquote land that they established. But to me, it should be an extension of Calico, right? Cause it's just right past where, you know, Ghost Town and the Little Red Schoolhouse. And then there's that, the Red Barn. That's there and Mystery Lodge. And so that makes me wonder, like, is Mystery Lodge going to go away?
No.
You know?
No.
So I think but it sounds like they're going to make that Whitewater Wilderness area an extension of Ghost Town. So my assumption is that Bigfoot would be, but I mean, was Bigfoot ever really a part?
No, it was kind of just ride?
Yeah.
I feel like the next time I guest on this show, I should probably look up a map of Knott's Berry Farm so I at least know what everybody is talking about.
When we renewed our passes, we got one free ticket to bring a guest before December 14th.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to go.
I would love to.
Karen's
we're not
down
doing
to
scary
go.
Thing.
That ends scary. Wednesday.
Okay. But no scary.
No, yeah, we could just go one of these weekends. We'll only stay for a few hours and ditch you. So if you want to bring a friend, we get like 4 free tickets.
Duly noted.
I want to go. I don't know what passed out through farm.
Okay, so all right, there you two are on. So get two more friends, and I'll look into how we're supposed to do this.
All right.
But, yeah. So like, literally, yeah. Okay, so yeah. Well, I mean, I would love to do that. And Karen's always a guest on the show, and Karen loves doing free stuff. So,
but, I do. If it's free, you'll probably find me there.
So I mean, what do you? I mean, I remember waiting in line for this ride like for 2.5 hours with my family, like whenever it was, like, my dad, because my mom wouldn't go on this kind of stuff.
I do remember being there when this first opened, though.
Yes,
and it was. We freaked out because we saw everybody. So it was one of the few times my family and I, we shelled out money, like for all four of us to go to a theme park, and people were coming off and they were soaked, and they were, I think, selling little ponchos, little Knott's ponchos up in the front. Yep. And then there were also people who had brought their own garbage bags and then tried to resell us their hefty garbage bags.
How funny.
Because they were like, it's only $2 for a hefty garbage bag.
That sounds like something Karen would do.
They had this cool, like, like dry off machine.
Yeah.
Where, like, you go in there.
It's $5, yeah.
Like, whoa. Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you about, okay, can I tell you guys something about those? Okay,
keep your eyes closed.
Okay, so yeah, there you go. That's one.
I didn't know
one.
About these machines.
Okay, so we went to Universal Studios Florida a couple of years ago, and we were making fun of those machines. And then we went on a ride called Dudley Do-Right's Ripsaw Falls, and that ride gets you, I mean, there is no escaping getting soaking wet on that ride. Like, you come off that ride dripping. There is no way. It's like, you know, you may get wet. You may get, no, you're getting drenched. Like, you are getting super wet on that ride. And so we had been making fun of those drying machines mercilessly, all day long. And as soon as we got off, we're like, here's my $5. Cause now my shoes are squishy. But yeah, so those machines are wonderful, and I will always pay the $5.
Do they actually work really well?
Wait, it's gonna still be Bigfoot, just
no. I think it's gonna be I think it's gonna be completely the theme. It sounds like that it's gonna be some sort of like calico theme, like.
But it's still gonna be a water ride.
It's still gonna be the concrete trough probably will not change, but it sounds like they're going to.
So what I would like them to fix is how it
the
how,
waterfalls. I'd love for that.
To okay, yeah, waterfalls, like, or maybe like California Bigfoot Adventure does
in costume. Huh? I would like to see Bigfoot dressed in costume.
Yeah. No, you know how California Adventures does where it shoots up the water?
Oh, the geysers?
So, yeah, if they do that instead so you can't see it coming and hide,
right? Yeah.
That would work.
Yeah.
But no, so if you're on the ride with anybody that weighs significantly more than you, they're going to get soaked. And what happens is generally, like, you'll have, like, a husband and wife who weigh the same. So they tend to sit together. So if they were to even it out, take the two people that weigh the most and the two people that weigh the least and put them on, you know, together, we all get equally soaked. Because I hate when they put me on the ride with somebody that weighs significantly more than me. And now I'm like, I'm hot and I'm not going to get wet.
I was just going to point out, I feel like this is a Brandis problem because she's usually probably the lightest person in the raft.
But yeah, so they should be.
The rest of us just don't really have this problem.
They should be sitting a normal sized person next to me so that we could all get equally.
Thank you for calling me a normal sized person.
I feel like if you just sit next to the fat person, like, you should get some of the, like,
thanks, Chris. Like, I mean, we went from normal to straight up fat. Jesus.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, if you're sitting next, like, if you should get some, like, ancillary, like,
equally sized spouse or friend is usually sitting with them. So
I think what Chris is saying is you kind of group yourself and be like, look, here's the deal. I'm tiny. I need a little splash. Would it be cool if I maybe sat with you so I got some of the splash too? Would it be cool if your other sat with my other? Because they really don't care if they get the splash.
And second of all, like really, who wants to get splashed with, like, theme park water? Like,
I don't.
Well, no,
apparently,
like,
Brandis does, because it's really hot.
When it's really hot, you go on there to cool off.
Yeah, that used to be such a fun ride. Like,
as long as my underwear do not get wet, I'm happy. Yeah.
That used to be such a fun ride to cool off on, like before they took out the waterfalls. And I think once they took off the waterfalls, I just stopped going on it because it's kind of boring. You go through some rapids, you don't get the waterfalls, you go through like a dark tunnel, and then, it's over. I don't know. So
the coolest part is when you get out of the raft and you're on that spinny thing.
Yeah.
And then you go back onto like regular land.
Yeah. Like, the stairs are moving, but it's not. It's the platform that's moving.
Right. Yeah. So I mean I'm in favor of
it's
it.
The small things, eh?
I'm all in favor of like cohesive theming. So if they can fix that back area, so that and then the other thing I would like to see, if they're gonna really do that, close that Western Avenue. I know the employees coming through there, but like I hate walking back there and I'm like, oh, I'm in the wilderness. I just came through Ghost Town. It's like, oh, there's an 87 Corolla driving down Mott Avenue, like past the parking lot, and you can
if
see
if it's an 87 Corolla, it's going to the motels.
There you go.
It's part of the theme.
And I wish they would do something to fix that Western Avenue entrance and, you know, make it so that you can't, you know, see the street and the parking lot across the street. But all right. Well, that's, are you guys in favor of it? Are you guys excited?
Yeah.
About a new, like a retheme on,
yeah, as long as they're not shutting it down.
No, they're not shutting it down. It would be like a new theme. You know, it'd be more cohesive with the Ghost Town.
Yeah, any kind of like change like that is positive because they're going to make it better somehow.
Cool. All right. Well, let's move on to our next story. Brandis, tell us what's going on at Universal Studios Hollywood.
I was just talking about this with a parent at a party last night, so this is interesting. Universal Studios Nintendo themed land under construction. Yeah, but now that I'm reading this, I'm not as happy. It's still nice, but okay. If you ever enjoyed a game of Mario Kart so much that you wish you could be zooming down Rainbow Road yourself, your prayers are set to be answered. God does listen. At least according to an article by LadBible.com. In a deal similar to Warner Brothers' Wizarding World of Harry Potter theme park spaces, which currently feature at Universal Orlando, Japan, and Hollywood, Nintendo will be set to own an entire area of theme parks at various Universal sites. Construction is underway for Super Mario Worlds at the Hollywood, yay, and Japanese parks, with a third site set for the Orlando destination. Speaking in an industry-focused podcast for Motley Fool, a financial service company, finance expert Dan Klein explained why these parks were set to add to Nintendo's high-value stock. First announced in May 2015, the first Nintendo theme park, Super Nintendo World, will open at Universal Studios Japan in time for the 2020 Tokyo Summer Olympics. We know there will be a Mario Kart ride. It's very logical to think that Nintendo is going to be the cornerstone of Harry Potter, of this new park, Klein said. The Hollywood and Orlando Universal parks will follow. The Universal Studios Hollywood edition will be located on the lower lot, which currently features Jurassic Park The Ride, soon to become Jurassic World, the Mummy Coaster, and Transformers Ride. With the closure of Soundstage 23 through 25, the theme park will be expanding the lower lot significantly by transferring studio facilities to the area surrounding the Red Sea. According to the new plan, which was unveiled by Variety back in June 2016, Universal Studios still plans to demolish soundstages 29, 33 through 37, and 41 through 44, along with a rehearsal hall. Stage 29 is connected to the backside of Transformers, the Ride 3D, while the rest are located in the corner between Transformers and Revenge of the Mummy, the Ride. These parcels of land, in turn, will be embarked for future theme park growth. Soundstage 22, 23, 24, and 25 on the Universal lot have been demolished. These demolitions are part of the studio's new five-year plan that aims to revitalize and modernize Universal's backlot facilities. Soundstages 22 through 25 were most famously used for 10 seconds in the original version of CSI. After the cancellation of the show in 2015, NBC Universal greenlit two new shows that occupied the block of sound stages, including Superstore, which were housed in Soundstage 22 and 23, and Colony, which was housed in Soundstage 24 and 25. Just before the demolition, Superstore was moved to Soundstage 16 and 17.
That's a lot. So what makes you a little bit less excited to read
it's
that?
Just talking about Mario.
Yeah, they haven't really released a whole lot of details. And I think the main point of this article was that the area is already under construction. So construction has begun on this. And if you've been to Universal Studios, which Karen, we were there about a month ago or so, and we still have to go back at some point. That's right. We still have to go back. So, once you get down there, you can tell that they are leveling stuff like crazy. Soundstage, I'm a big movie fan. So Soundstage 23 was also famous for being the Phantom of the Opera set. It was the oldest soundstage in all of Hollywood. It was built in the 1920s, and it still housed the whole Phantom of the Opera. The Lon Chaney movie still held that opera set behind black curtains. So all of that's gone now. Now, the only real detail that they've released about the new land is this new Mario Kart ride. What I have seen.
And that makes sense. And I hope it's not one of their like digital 4D. A
lot of screens. Yeah. So, I mean.
But like an actual track, like the Cars ride.
Yeah. Like that would be really cool. Like I'm really hoping like they're going to do something like that. So let me ask you guys, since it wasn't.
Side note. I just sent a text message to somebody I know who's working on some project over there. So hopefully this is the project she's been working on.
Yeah. That'd be cool. That'd be kind of cool.
Can you just ask her if they have any plans for Metroid or Zelda?
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. So here's what I was. So they've already, if you go online, and I didn't include it in the story because it's not about the Hollywood version, but they've already released like, so they're going to have like Yoshi's World and they're going to, in Japan, they've released kind of like, because they're opening up a whole new theme park.
I thought Nintendo had a theme park in Japan.
No.
Oh, okay. In Karen's world, there was always already a Nintendo
so this
theme
is,
park.
Yeah, it's going to be part of the Universal Studios Japan. They're opening up a new park over there. And so they've kind of released. So there's going to be a Zelda Kingdom. There's going to be Yoshi's World. There's going to be like Super Mario Land. But let me ask you guys, and Karen, you seemed really excited about this. What would you guys like to see as part of a Nintendo World land at Universal Studios? And it sounds like they're going to expand even more and tear down more sound stages, which I'm not a huge fan of. But what would you guys like to see included in a Universal Studios Hollywood Nintendo land?
You know what they should do is a ride that's like the Dumbo ride at Disney, where it's Yoshi and Kirby. So you sit in a Yoshi or Kirby and go up and down.
They have something similar at the
I would like
Simpsons
Duck Hunt.
Land.
Huh?
Okay.
I would like Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt, yeah.
But yeah, but that could be a side game. And the cupcakes that look like a green or a red mushroom covered in.
I think it'd be cute. And maybe you could do some sort of Super Mario, like, you know, regular Super Mario.
Yeah. Well,
Donkey Kong.
Like where you're climbing up ladders.
Yeah, I'm just very excited right now.
Mm-hmm. So in the Japan version, you actually go through to enter the park. You go through it's turned sideways, but you go through a pipe like Mario. And I believe like it makes the sound like the pipe sound.
So do you get to hit a box before you go in? So like a flower or a mushroom comes popping out?
Don't think so.
They could do a total Zelda one that's VR.
Okay. I hate Zelda, but
I see a Zelda theme going on here today.
Yeah. What would you like to see is in a Zelda VR?
Like a VR, so you're walking along, like maybe it's kind of like a little maze and it's a dungeon. You got to figure it out. And in the end, you fight Ganon.
Okay. That'd be kind of
cool. And you could steal chickens.
And you could what?
Steal chickens.
Oh, okay.
Where you have to go into the thing and you pick up a chicken and then you have to put them all in that stupid corral.
Yeah. And if you
chase
hit one,
stupid chickens all over the place.
And if you hit one, the employees come out and start pelting
exactly.
you with chickens.
There you go.
Yes.
Until you die.
That would be fun.
You said Metroid.
Yes.
What would you like to see in a Metroid attraction?
Well, Metroid is kind of just like Space Zelda, so that's hard. It would just kind of have to maybe be the same, but it could also just be, like a one of their 4D rides where you're sitting and exploring this spaceship and you got to get out like it explodes, like in Metroid Prime.
All right. John, do you have any thoughts on Nintendo World?
You know, I didn't have a Nintendo growing up. I had to like watch my friends play it, so I don't really care.
Yeah,
but when your friends were playing it, didn't you get a chance?
You get like
to play?
One turn, like
yeah,
half it sucks.
Yeah, no, because I was that kid. No,
yeah, I bad friends.
No, I had those friends too before I got my Nintendo when I was 14. You go to their house for a sleepover, and you say, "Can we play your Nintendo?" And they really just show you how they play.
Yeah, you
see, I was the
opposite.
I was kind of spoiled, so I didn't want a Nintendo. I'm pretty sure I wanted the Easy Bake Oven, but I got a Nintendo instead, and I was like, eh.
I'm sorry, so, no parent wants to buy you an Easy Bake Oven because that's continuous money spent.
So instead, I got a Nintendo, and I was the friend who'd be like, oh, yeah, you want to play Nintendo? Sure, whatever, here you go. I'm going to be back here with a book.
So you would have been a good friend to have when
I was
a kid. I
know, I would have been the best.
I would be playing Nintendo and be like, is your mom going to make us snacks?
Always wanting
I'm
more.
I'm going to live here now.
But the thing about Nintendo is like more money spent because every time, you know, you play your game for a while and you got to buy a new. I would like to see like a Hogan's Alley. You guys remember Hogan's Alley? Like, we had to, like, go through and, like, shoot the targets. And, like, if you go through, like, kind of like a, maybe like a Buzz Lightyear type of ride where, you know, you have the things pop up. And
you could do that for Duck Hunt.
That's what I was just going to say. That would be good Duck Hunt.
I think I like classics, you know.
And, you know, and they should also
do. We have the fitness pad where you had to run on the little running pad so you could do the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't go to theme parks to run or do fitness.
Do you know what they should do for the Zelda chickens? They could actually do this for so many games. You know that gopher game that, like, the gopher pops up and you whack it?
Yeah, whack-a-mole,
that's it. They could do that with chickens, and then after you hit too many chickens, they all start coming up like crazy.
They could move.
And they start pelting you.
Yeah.
They could move the Midway games from that upper lot area, because it crowds, like where the Simpsons area is.
Yeah, yeah.
They could move those games down there, and you could have all kinds of, like, Nintendo themed, like, Midway games, like the, you know.
Like Smush Goobers. Yeah.
Well, that was it for Universal Studios. We're going to go on to our final news story in park hopping, and we are going to go over to Karen. Karen, tell us all about Star Wars Galaxy's Land Edge.
All right. Ride. Disney drops more details on its Star Wars Galaxy Edge Millennium Falcon ride. The Walt Disney Company recently shed more light on its upcoming Star Wars Galaxy Edge land, now being built in its Hollywood Studios theme park in Orlando and at Disneyland in Anaheim, California, with the new information on its marquee ride. A special feature released on the Target-exclusive Blu-ray edition of Solo, A Star Wars Story, outlines some of its mechanical and storytelling details of a ride based on the iconic Millennium Falcon starship that include the story. Your crew has been given a mission by Hondo Ohnaka, a galactic pirate who was introduced in the Clone Wars animated series and returned in Star Wars Rebels. If you are successful and the ship is brought back in good shape, you could receive a reward in the form of galactic credits. My question mark here, before I go on, is you could get credits, so do they stiff you? I mean,
you could. So this is going to be part of, like, a whole interactive thing with the land. So everything that you do in Galaxy's Edge is going to affect something else in your experience in Galaxy's Edge. That's the way that they're pitching this. Now, whether or not this is going to come to fruition or not is somebody. See, I used the fruition. I used a big college word there, not just what is it? Online speculation. Whether or not this is going to come to fruition and actually stick, who knows? But everything that you do in Galaxy's Edge supposedly is going to affect your experience somewhere else in Galaxy's Edge. So that's how that's going to work.
Okay, the crew. In the film, the Millennium Falcon cockpit has four seats, but some modifications that have been made for an expanded crew of six, all of whom will have assigned tasks. Maybe spell check next time. For example...
Wow, it's criticized Chris today.
It's criticized.
For example, gunners need to defend against TIE fighter assaults. Engineers need to maintain flight systems and repair damage. If the damage is extensive and the mission unsuccessful, you may end up owing money to Hondo, who could task a local bounty hunter with finding you. Side note, I am totally not going to be an engineer, and I think I'd rather be a bounty hunter.
Yeah, like, you go to a theme park to escape life. Like, getting in debt is already a problem enough.
I got to say, I kind of like that kids could get into debt, because I'd be like, see, this is what happens if you don't stop spending your money on candy and toys and ice cream or whatever it is.
And theme parks.
And theme
whatever,
parks,
yeah. You know, kids spend their money on these days.
But also, by the way, if you know anything about Karen, bounty hunter is totally, yeah, I totally believe that she'd want to be a bounty hunter over anything else.
The ship. The interior will be a 360-degree experience where riders will see every detail of the Millennium Falcon. The cockpit will have a total of 200 working switches and knobs that control the various crew tasks. I'm totally going to work on all 200 of those.
Well, and here's the deal with that. First of all, it says every detail. I want to know where the John on the Millennium Falcon is, first of all. Like, where's the restroom?
You'll find out when it opens.
You don't just, like, pee into space?
Like, no. If you pee in space, nobody hears you. So,
The riders will also be able to walk into the main chess room, which will be surrounded by everything they remember from the films. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge will encompass 14 acres at Disneyland and Hollywood Studios in Orlando. The lands were announced August 2015, and construction at both parks began on April 14, 2016. The lands are scheduled to open at both locations in 2019, with the Disneyland version opening in the summer, followed by the Disney's Hollywood Studio version in the late fall.
Is anybody else, when we hear these stories about, like, Nintendo Land or that Star Wars thing or the refurbishment of Ghost or Bigfoot Rapids, ever just get really bummed out over it? Not because you're going to miss it, but because it's going to draw crowds you don't want?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
how
absolutely.
Dare these theme parks try to make money?
So, yeah.
Okay. So, for me, one, I'm kind of annoyed at where they're placing it because it seems super, you know, it's like so... La la la, I'm all themed. There's a river and it's all country. And
it's
then
frontier.
Bam.
Yeah.
I just like, I've hit the future and I'm like, what?
Well, I think they've done a pretty good job. I was really worried about what the entrance was going to look like. If you're walking back in that area, you know, behind Thunder Mountain between Fantasyland and Frontierland, like I was really worried about what they were going to do to that area. And yeah, thematically, it doesn't make any sense. I don't think they care anymore. They stopped caring about that like 10 years ago. But you are walking from like the frontier and the wilderness. You're walking into like, here's Star Wars. And you know, that really doesn't make any sense to me. But yeah, talking about going back to the crowds, me and my wife plan a yearly trip to Disney World. We go to Disney World every year right around the same time. I think 2019, we are going to skip Disney World because that is when Star Wars Land is opening.
Wait, we're skipping Disney World?
Wait, when in 2019?
Late fall. So probably.
Okay,
like,
good, good. Because our kids are going in February 2019.
Oh, me too.
Oh, yeah. Karen's going to be there too.
I'm celebrating my 40th birthday.
We're not going to be there. Oh. And you're going to be 42. I'm like 40 a month after you then. So, yeah, we're not going to be there, but I'll show you pictures of my kids, and you could go creep them out.
Okay.
Yeah, they're on our Facebook
page. That
works.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and so 2019, we're seriously considering, and although I've already stated, like, I don't care how many days I have to camp out to be there for the first day of Star Wars Night at Disneyland, like, I'm going to be there. I
guess who's not going to be there?
Karen.
This gal, because yeah. She can't afford the ticket to get in.
Right.
And I have a feeling the tickets are going to go up even
yeah, there's
more
already, there's already rumors
than they
about,
already are.
There's already rumors about them raising the prices coming
so
soon.
So I'm like, Also, I'm seriously very, very concerned because you go into Disneyland and it's already pretty crowded, yeah. Like most any day.
Yeah.
So you add this now and I'm just like, I feel like once this gets added in, suddenly just Disneyland Park itself is going to become like a 2 or 3 day visit because there's no way you can do everything now in a day because the lines are going
to
be
I really
ridiculous.
Don't want to spend money to stand in line for 2 hours each ride.
Yeah, two hours. That's cute.
I know. I was like 2 hours. Well, okay.
So
and a half hours minimum.
No, when
right?
I say 2 hours, we go during the slowest time of year.
There is no slow time of year now, though, I think. Like maybe January when everything is shut down for like
but that's
2 weeks.
That's when we go the end of January or the beginning of February.
Yeah, it used to be like we could get away, like the lines were pretty short. But the last couple of years, though, it's been bad.
Yeah.
It's just been bad all the time. Like you go in and you're just like, why don't you people work or go to school or where? I mean,
go away.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
Well, I think, and we won't get into it here, but I think a lot of like that has to do with FastPass because now you're dumping all these people that used to be waiting in line. You've heard my rants about FastPass if you listen to the show for any length of time. Like, you used to have all these people that were waiting in line and are now waiting like in the walkways. So that just I don't know if it's more crowded, but it definitely feels more crowded.
Yeah, because PSA, you guys. If you're waiting for your party, if you're trying to figure out where you're going to next, if you're trying to figure out how to get to wherever it is you want to go, please do not stand in the middle of a walkway and make me like have to figure out how to get around you.
That works for grocery stores too.
That works
for especially Costco.
Also,
maybe not
PSA,
be selfish,
please don't walk in a row. Yes, you're a party of four. Yes, you're
yeah,
a party of eight.
Like
you're a party of 12.
Shoulder.
You're a whole family reunion of like 20 people with matching shirts. Guess what? It works really great if you walk single file. If you can't walk single file, maybe just in pairs. You know, like when you learned in school, like hold on to a hand and walk in pairs to make it easier for us to move past you.
When
walk
I'm feeling when I'm feeling extra sassy, I will just stop in the middle of the sidewalk and make people walk around me so they get the point.
I feel like that makes you feel better, but they still haven't gotten the point.
Well, when I'm feeling more angry, I will move to the grass and scoff at them loudly.
Oh. Ooh, I like that. Can we do that next time?
We'll go to Disneyland just to scoff at people who are not behaving.
Yes, I actually shamed them loudly by going, don't people know that they shouldn't stop in the middle of a walkway when hundreds of people are coming up behind them? Chris does not like this in the middle of a walkway.
This conversation's gone off the rails. so back to Galaxy's Edge. This makes me more excited for this ride. I know someone that's been on a test sort of this ride. And so.
Is he a dummy?
No.
I want to flip all the switches. I want to flip all 200 switches.
My favorite thing in that article is that there's going to be 200 switches that all do something. So if you've ever been on Mission Space in Disney World,
I'm never going to leave. I'm just going to be there flipping all the switches. I'm going to make like a master chart.
You're
going to
be fighting with a bunch of little kids.
I'm taller and bigger.
You've clearly never been to Disneyland with Karen.
Exactly.
But on Mission Space, like in Florida, you have all these switches that don't, like, you think that they do stuff, but they don't really do stuff. Like they don't really do anything. This sounds like everything that you do in your pod or wherever you're at is going to have some sort of effect. So that's actually really cool. Is anybody here excited for Galaxy's Edge Star Wars Land besides me?
I am. I'd like to see it.
Also, if there's an artist out there who would like to hand draw an entire map of all the switches so I can keep track of which switch I have already flipped, that would be super awesome. Because I'm assuming they're not going to let me do all 200 of them at the same time.
Just get graph paper and start like coloring in a 200 by, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, I think I'm supposed to see what it looks like first. I'm assuming there'll be different buttons and switches, and they won't be 200 of the exact same looking one.
Take a picture of it. You live in 2018.
And then go into edit.
Right.
start cropping them out.
Yeah, open up Photoshop.
All right. I guess I could do
that. Sounds like a whole thing, though.
She's
asking
like
somebody to hand draw her a map.
Well, that's easier. Somebody else should do it for her.
Yeah. John feels me.
There we go. All right. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to stop talking about it. Like, cause as it gets closer, that's all you're going to hear is just Galaxy's Edge. We've already talked about the cantina and how they're going to sell booze in the cantina. Now we're, you know, learning about the Millennium Falcon ride. So it's just going to be more and more and more and more and more and more coming up. And talking about this. So I'm going to be excited to see it open. I'm going to be excited to see, like, if it lives up to the hype. I have a feeling that it's not. I'm not excited to spend like, you know, 4 days in line to get in on that first day. But, and somebody actually pointed out, so it's supposed to be released. What was it supposed to be? Star Wars Land is supposed to be open when? When did it say?
At Disneyland?
At Disneyland, yeah.
It's going to be opening in the summer.
So in the summer. So
2019?
Of 2019.
So somebody said, wouldn't it be cool if they could somehow get Star Wars Land open by May the 4th?
That's our anniversary. We should go.
So you open. Yeah, then we start waiting in line 2 days.
For those of you
who
don't see John's face right now, after Brenda said, we should go.
And nobody's seeing John's face right now because, you know,
it's a podcast.
It's a radio show.
I don't know. I mean.
All right. So we're gonna wrap up. Thanks, guys, for all of that. Thanks for giving us your opinions on the Millennium Falcon and all of the other things we talked about in park hopping. We're going to move on. We're going to have a little short discussion here about Mickey's Halloween party. So back in September, Karen and I went.
So long ago.
It was so long ago. And I'm like, what did we do? I was just editing the video. We're going to have a video up this week before the show goes up on Wednesday. It's going to be me and Karen at Mickey's Halloween party. So we had a lot of fun. I'm just going to go over a quick little overview of Mickey's Halloween party. Mickey's Halloween party, which is formerly known as Mickey's Halloween Treat from 2005 until 2007, and Mickey's Trick or Treat Party in 2008 and 2009, is an annual Halloween-themed separate admission, also called a hard ticket event, at the Disneyland Resort in Anaheim, California. An earlier event with the original name had been held in 1995 and 1996 at Disneyland Park, and was revived in 2005 at Disney's California Adventure, staying until 2009, and is considered to be a family-friendly response to the scare-centered events Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios Hollywood and Not Scary Farm promotion at Knott's Berry Farm, also in Fright Fest at Six Flags Magic Mountain. The event returned to Disneyland Park starting in 2010, at first due to space issues during the DCA retheming and construction. The party includes a special fireworks show featuring a flyby of Zero, an exclusive Halloween parade with an appearance by a horseback riding headless horseman, trick-or-treating, and more. And they just recently upgraded the parade. We got to see the brand new parade, and we will have footage of that in our YouTube video. Mickey's Halloween party this year took place in Disneyland on select nights in the fall, typically running from late September until Halloween. In 2018, the party dates were September 19th 19th, 21st, 24th, 26th, various dates all the way up to October 31st, and the party became a sold-out event sometime in mid-September, which explains to you how, should let you know how popular this event is. Officially, the party starts at 6 p.m. On some nights and on 7 p.m. on some others. The party runs until 11 or 12, depending on the night. Guests with a valid Halloween party ticket may enter Disneyland ahead of time. There's special entertainment, a frightfully fun parade with the Headless Horseman special characters entertainment, including the Cadaver Dance.
Those are awesome. They are awesome. Karen loves
Instagram.
The Cadaver Dance.
Yeah.
They were amazing.
And fireworks just for the party. The fireworks are hosted by Jack Skellington, the Pumpkin King of Halloween Town from the 1993 movie The Nightmare Before Christmas. And I actually really enjoyed the fireworks. It was a lot of fun.
I actually really enjoyed the parade, and I am not a parade person, yeah. But I was like, whoa, this is an awesome parade.
So adults are allowed to wear costumes during the special event, one of the few times of the year the park allows this. There are some rules, including don't be disgusting, vulgar, inappropriate, or have sharp objects or real-looking weapons. Also, they don't want you signing autographs. So if you're dressed as a princess, don't go around signing autographs like you're Cinderella. They also have trick-or-treat stations set up throughout the park, and some of those trick-or-treat stations have both candy and quote-unquote healthy treats, and I've been watching some of the, yeah, who cares?
Giving out bananas and apples?
No, apple slices they gave and carrots. Out Disney-branded fruit crisps, which were all apple crisps, which aren't bad except the bag, and maybe it's because they're for kids, but they're tiny, and I swear to God, like one handful in and your bag is empty. Like, there are no more fruit crisps.
Do they give out toothbrushes?
They do not give out toothbrushes. They do give out carrots. They also give out fresh apple slices.
How many
slices.
Stations?
They're all throughout the park. So there's one, there's stations in Tomorrowland. There's stations out there by Splash Mountain. There's one next to the Rivers of America. There's probably, how many would you say, Karen, there's about?
So there's a lot is all I can say. And then each station isn't just one cart. Like, you don't just get, like, candy from one person. Like, it's a little trail. They're actually not called treat stations. They're called treat trails. And you would follow the little trail. And so you'll hit up, like, two or three different little carts that have a variety. So on each treat trail, they're not trying to do, like, this is the all healthy one. So you might get, like, a handful of candy at the first one. And then maybe, like, a pack of craisins at the second one.
So it's a handful?
So they don't give you like a heaping handful, but you get like two, I'd say you get like 3 to 4 candies. Like, you know,
cool.
Knott's Berry Farm, their ghost town trick or treating. It's 6 stations, but you get 1 candy and they absolutely will not share with adults.
Oh no.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Yeah. How expensive was yours versus how expensive Mickey's Halloween party is? Because Mickey's Halloween party is ridiculously expensive.
I'd be like stealing my kids' craisins for my like next salad.
Here's the deal: you're never going to get your money in candy. So when we went, it was actually early on in the season. It was about September.
That's right. We celebrated Halloween in September in like 90 degree weather.
Yeah, it was like 90 degrees outside. But because it was earlier in the season, it wasn't as crowded. We actually got to do quite a bit. We got to go on some rides. We got there right at, I think you can get in starting at 4 o'clock. I think we got there right around 5. The parking was absolutely,
I thought it was 3.
Is it 3? Okay. So then we got there at 4. So we got there an hour after you were allowed to get in because we spent another hour in parking. Trying to, it was awful. Like I know they're going to open up that new parking, structure soon, but this was just absolutely horrendous, the parking situation in Disneyland right now.
And it was sad because I was at least hoping that I could like costume spot in the car, and like nobody else had on costumes, and I was like, ugh, so boring.
We had on costumes. We went dressed as characters from the Country Bear Jamboree
Vacation Edition.
Vacation Hoedown Edition. So that was fun, and it's fun. People walk around wearing costumes, but it is a very pricey event. We were able to get discounted tickets through, you know, some other situations that we are able to take advantage of, but I think it's like over $100 for some nights.
I heard it was like 125 or something like
that. It's as much as a one day ticket, but if you go early on, you get the treat trails. It's not as expensive. A lot of people go, they've got like special entertainment, they've got the Cadaver Dance, they've got the plaza where they have all the villains, and then they're just kind of like characters roaming, so you don't need to.
The fireworks are really cool as well. And the parade was, like I said, really, really good. And I am usually that person who sits and watches a parade and is like falling asleep or on my cell phone. But I was like, whoa, this parade is good.
And they actually just revamped the parade. Vamped? Get it?
I thought we were done with Halloween puns.
Oh, man. No, this is the final week. I got to get my last Halloween puns in. But So they just revamped and restyled the parade. They've got some new units in there. I'll be honest, the Disneyland version of the Halloween parade was not as good as the Florida Disney World version of the Halloween parade, the Booty U parade, but I really enjoyed this one, and their special guest was Vampirina at the very end. It was like, okay, what? But anyways,
there were a lot of kids dressed as Vampirina.
There was a lot of kids dressed as Vampirina.
Who's Vampirina? I don't know.
She's a Disney Junior character. She's a little vampire.
Is she a vampire princess or something?
I think she's just a vampire.
She's one of the common folk.
Okay.
So Jason's too old for that, and Samuel only watches TV if it's SpongeBob, so we wouldn't know.
Yeah. Side note, SpongeBob the musical is amazing, and I highly recommend it.
Nice.
But so we noticed that there was a lot of people with kids dressed as Vampirina. So we actually had
adult costumes I was mostly not impressed with.
Except for ours.
Although nobody quite got us. They were kind of like, you guys are dressed as something. FYI, you guys, I was dressed as Trixie St. Clair. Okay? Yeah. Trixie St. Clair.
From Country Bear Vacation, no doubt. So it, the people that recognized our costumes were people like right around our age who had to be of a certain age to get our costumes.
Except for the one Japanese tourist.
The one Japanese tourist, because they still have Country Bear in
she
Japan.
She went wild when she saw us, and she ran over and she wanted to take pictures. She had all of us. She's like, no. And she knew me by name. She was the only person who knew me by name. And she's like, Trixie, don't be sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had like, but she straight up had like her like Country Bear like keychain with her too, like because they still have it in Japan. There's all the Country Bear Jamboree, but it was a really fun event. So the way the treat trails work is that, and then by the end of the night, they just want to get rid of it because they don't want to haul it all the way back, and they just open up these cases full of candy. So if you wait till the end of the night, they just like shove candy in your bag, like by the hand, like literally by the handful.
That's also a good tip for sushi, by the way.
Right? Do you want to get rid of it by the end of the night?
If you go to sushi right before closing, go ahead and order a couple plates, and then the chef is just going to start sending out just plates of all these things he's just trying to get rid of, and he's practicing.
This is very unusual. I think we must go to different sushi places.
But you can't keep the fish for the next day.
We clearly go to different sushi places.
Yeah. My sushi comes out on a conveyor belt.
It's the sushi that was next to the Starbucks we worked at. Nikki and I used to go there, and they would just like at night, you'd just be sitting there, and they just keep sending plates
Karen
after plates.
Karen doesn't go to conveyor belt sushi. That's
no, this isn't conveyor belt sushi.
I've never had that happen either. I think it's just because you're pretty.
Good job, John. Thumbs up.
I could see this, but I second. If you are going to pick a treat trail, if you still get a chance to go, I recommend the Golden Horseshoe Treat Trail, which is absolutely the one that has the most amount of stuff, and they run the gamut from healthy to good stuff. Yeah. They gave out Swedish fish.
They rethemed, so they completely theme decorated the inside of the Golden Horseshoe. They had like pictures and scary pictures, and I mean, it was, they really like went all out on theming the Golden Horseshoe for the Halloween party. They had cobwebs and lights and spooky things, and like a ghost piano player, and it was just, that one was super fun. Here's another pro tip: if you're going to go to Mickey's Halloween party, if you're planning your trip for next year, when you walk in, they give you this tiny little crappy bag. If you take a backpack and one of the big bags you have from the grocery store, you can fill that bag. We bought a Target bag. It was, like a disposable vinyl, not disposable, but a reusable grocery bag from Target that had, it was Halloween themed and had little ghosts on it. And this thing was huge. And so we also took a backpack. You can fill your bag. They will, if you take a pillowcase,
you can take whatever you want.
Yeah. If you take a pillowcase full of, they will fill your pillowcase with candy. Not $105 worth of candy, but I think,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they don't just limit you to your little bag. Like, you can take a giant bag of candy. We had like two backpacks full of candy by the time that we left. So
this is a tip for trick-or-treating in neighborhoods with your kids, by the way. Keep emptying their buckets out into a pillowcase and stand out away from the houses so they don't see you have your pillowcase. And towards the end of the night, people start to feel bad for them. That they don't have candy and starts loading them up.
I'm going to do that.
Nice.
We get trick-or-treaters in our neighborhood.
Does this work for myself as well?
Just depends on the house you go to. Because if you came to my door, no offense, but I'm like, why should I spend money? Or my big thing is the teenage girls that come dressed as strippers. And I'm like,
they're not
strippers. If you're old enough.
They're sexy
crayons,
whatever here.
Yeah, I'm like, if you're old enough to dress like that, you're too old to go trick or treating. Get off my porch.
See, I was gonna say, for me, it depends on like what the costume looks like.
Are you not worried about them coming back and TP paper your house or egging your house?
Nope.
Is this thing only on TV?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. So, see,
people don't like vandalism charges in real life.
I'm terrified. See, I make my wife buy the good candy because I'm like, we can't give out the crappy candy because then they're gonna like egg our house later. So
somebody I used to know when I was really little gave out nickels. They just had rolls of nickels.
There's this boy in the neighborhood or this house in the neighborhood we go to that gives out Hot Wheels cars.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's kind of cool.
I want to go to that house.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So,
oh my God.
All right. Karen, what was your favorite part of Mickey's Halloween party?
Cadaver Dan.
Cadaver Dance. Yeah, so it's the
you said that like three times.
Cadaver Dance. Okay, so I was like, okay, whatever. They're just floating by. They're going to be singing. And then I was like, no, I'm really impressed.
What the Cadaver Dance are.
So the Cadaver Dance are the four singing like ghosties that float on the little raft through the rivers of America.
It's the same guys that play the Dapper Dance on Main Street.
Okay, for the record, I don't like the Dapper Dance nearly as much as I like the Cadaver Dance.
No, they're really good. They do like the spooky. They do the Headless Horseman song. They do.
They're kind of like those. You know, four headless or bodiless busts in the Haunted Mansion cemetery. But it was, I don't know if it was just like the lighting plus the song and the atmosphere, but I just thought the whole thing was really cool. And while we were waiting for Chris to catch up, because he was really, really slow going through all the treat trails.
Because I was recording for the video.
So, you know, so I was able to kind of enjoy their musical selections as they slowly, you know, drifted by. And I was like, oh, no, I'm really impressed.
They're on one of the Tom Sawyer rafts. They've got like fog on the river and special lighting effects. And
they come up really close to, you know, like to the edges. So you could really see
right in front of the haunted mansion.
It's not like they're floating and you're kind of like, what do their faces look like? I mean, they are really well made up. You know, as they drifted by, and I really, really, really enjoyed that.
There were some neat costumes. Yeah, overall, you know, the adult costumes I think are better here at Disneyland than I've seen them at Disney World.
Yeah, but even still, they were not that awesome. People, I was not impressed by you.
By me?
By everybody else. Oh. So I really hated the little T-shirts, the little like, you know, superhero T-shirts with the cape. That was like what, 8 years ago. People, get a new shirt.
But it is like 90 degrees out.
No, it's true. It was like,
and if
it was
I'm
the middle
sweating
of September.
To death, then you should be too.
That's one of my biggest pet peeves of having Halloween in Southern California is it's never cold enough for the costume you want.
Also, there were so many incredible families. I was like,
oh, there were a ton of incredible families.
Everybody was an incredible.
Yeah. My favorite part was I did enjoy the new parade. More than I have in the past years. And the reason we haven't gone to the Disneyland one, honestly, is because we didn't feel like it was as much of a value as going to the one in, Disney World. And so
which gives you a ridiculous amount of candy.
Yeah, you get so much candy at the one in Walt Disney World.
You will get so much candy. It is insane. Like, just going through all the treat trails once would probably give you, like, a entire completely to the brim full backpack of candy.
Wow.
But I really enjoyed the parade. I really enjoyed the fireworks. I really enjoyed the fact that it was early September, despite the fact that it was like literally it had been 70 degrees all week long. And then that one particular Saturday that we went, it was literally 90 degrees outside.
And I now know what day you went.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Brandis, on a side note, at the one in Florida, they used to have the cranberry bog. So they would load you up with craisins.
Nice.
So you could go through and they would just give you like three or four packs at a time. So you could totally load up a backpack full of healthy craisins for your salads.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So, if you get a chance to check it out next year, you know, the tickets go on sale. Well, good Lord, the tickets for Walt Disney World go on sale like, you know, in July because they start their Halloween celebration in August now. But, the tickets go on sale for Mickey's Halloween party usually sometime, around, you know, the end of the summer. And then it sells out really quickly. It's a really popular event, here in Southern California because I love that it's, not a scary event. Like, there is something out there for families to do at Halloween. If you don't want to, you know, if your kids, we saw so many kids at, like, when we went to Halloween Haunt, there's so many little kids there that look terrified. So I really enjoy the fact that,
I will say, you know, though, I feel like next year it's going to cost more because, like,
well, next year
we'll Galaxy's Edge will also be open.
Next year we'll be in Disney World, so it won't matter. All right. Well, thank you guys for that discussion. I thought it was going to be a short show once again, and you guys proved me wrong. So thank you for all of that.
Karen and I talk too much.
Hey, we're giving you guys more bang for your buck.
More content.
More content. More content. You can connect with the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast online by visiting our Facebook page, facebook.com/Vacationland Podcast, our Instagram, VL Podcast, our Twitter account, @Vacationland Show, and of course our website, thevacationlandpodcast.com. Make sure to visit our YouTube channel by searching the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast and see some of the things that we've been working on, including the trip Karen and I took to Mickey's Halloween Party and Brandis and John's first time in a vlog for our trip to Not Scary Farm. I'd like to thank you all for joining us today. Thank you, Brandis. Thank you, John. And thank you, Karen. And we'd like to thank you all out there for listening. We know that you have many choices for theme park shows, and we are so happy you have chosen to spend your time with us. So, on behalf of all of us here, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in Vacation Land. Happy Halloween. Karen's got to go to a Rams game. Woo-hoo!